and welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back to, yes, we know it's the annual time of the season where I say it's been too long. I think it's almost been 3 months since we last recorded our last Gopher Gridiron Radio episode, Luke. But there hasn't been a ton to kind of talk about because heaven forbid we get access into the Gopher football world.
Yeah, unless you want to like hyper analyze photographs of PJ Fleck, which some people found interesting. I found not interesting at all. But yeah, other than that, there's
really
nothing.
We have to talk about that.
Do we really have to?
I mean, here's what I'll say. Like, it's the worst kept. It was the worst kept secret. And then Chip finally. So the deal is the Star Tribune's Chip Scoggins was going to ask him about it at a press conference, and he told the SID, and the SID was just like, call him, and then you can tweet it out. So yeah, Fleck had facial surgery because he had a bungee strap break and hit him in the face, and so he needed surgery. Like, this wasn't – I can't tell you the amount of conspiracy theories I saw about, like, Botox or, like, a facelift. Like, I'm not going to get into the nuances of – how the bungee strap hit him, other than I would say it's recreationally related.
I'm going to just say this. I think it's fair. We can axe it if you're not comfortable with this, but I vaguely remember you texting me that what do Minnesota football coaches have in common? And it was like eye injuries and something
it's
along those
like
lines.
Obscure in like one in a million eye injuries like that this would happen to.
So. And this is like in 2019, like right around the time that Mike Zimmer had his thing too. And it was
Fleck
like
had this happen where, again, I don't know how much I can get into it without like privacy stuff and whatnot, but like it was a serious thing that happened to him over the summer a couple years ago. And now he finally got the surgery to fix what had happened. And so, yeah, the healing, I don't know, probably hasn't gone as well as his doctors told him it would have. But, like, I just want to kibosh this right now. This wasn't no Botox or facelift thing. This was to fix a bungee strap-related incident that happened a couple of years ago. So, yeah, this is why I didn't want to come back, Luke, is because that has been, like, the number one thing people want to talk about. Does PJ Fleck have an imposter or did he get Botox or facelift? And it's like, you guys have too much time in your hands. Number one, I get it because heaven forbid we get access to this Gopher football team. But like number two, there's not a lot of good things to say right now, which is kind of why we felt like we had to record an episode because, you know, there's been some guys hitting the portal and we did a whole episode about that right after the season, Luke. But this latest one, I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It sucks.
Can I preface this before we get into this in too much detail with,
sure.
I think I tweeted this at some point, but the portal giveth and the portal taketh away.
No doubt.
So all that said, keep in mind, you're going to lose people, but we've also gotten people and we're always going to get people. Just keep that all in mind. That's all I'm going to say.
Like, do I think the roster is in a more efficient place in terms of how the scholarship allocations are today than they were right after the season? Absolutely. And I think Minnesota's had 15 guys hit the portal that have been scholarship related, with Bucky Irving hitting the portal. Well, Bucky Irving is technically not in the portal right now as I'm sitting here Sunday night talking to you, Luke. He tweeted
as
it out.
I think that's,
well, as far as the people who know who's in the portal and who's not in the portal, 24/7, the overlords have told me. I mean, Bucky tweeted out, I forget either Friday or Saturday, I think it was Friday afternoon, that he was going to hit the portal. Well, it's 48 hours from now and still not in the portal, but I'm assuming that's just the paperwork thing. And by the time you're listening to this, he may or may not be in the portal. Just check my Twitter to see if he is. But like, of the 15 guys, I think without question, Bucky is in his own tier. And that's peace and love to Kai Thomas. But Bucky, from what he showed in limited action last year, I think was in a tier of his own. Just the way he was able to be so dynamic in space. And again, it's just kind of the reality of it with Mo back, with Trey Potts looking more and more likely to somehow be cleared off spending 5-6 nights in a hospital just in October with a very, very serious injury. You've got Bryce Williams still there. Like, this was kind of the risk you took, Luke, when you said yes to bringing back Mo Ibrahim, which I think was the right decision, and I still do. I mean, mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
I'd say it's the right decision to bring him back. Everything he's done, plus, you know, he needs to show something before he can go to the NFL anyway. Like, they're not going to – no, probably nobody's going to take a risk on him otherwise.
Well, and Mo has done so much for this, for Fleck and his 5-6 years here, and he's the Big Ten running back of the year. He's a great fit for what Kirk Ciarrocca wants to do in an offense, yada, yada, yada. But when you have so many mouths to feed there, with Mo there for just another year, you've got Trey Potts potentially with a few more years of eligibility, Bryce Williams potentially with a couple more years. I mean, I've heard glowing things from spring practice about the true freshman, Zach Evans, when they signed out of Texas.
And Kenny,
I mean, that's
Burns
a lot of mouths.
Kenny Burns also said he was really high on him as well. But okay, Correct. Let's get into logistics before we get into too much about Bucky Irving. First and foremost, logistics are spring practice is kind of just underway for the Gophers as of what, last week, I think. And
I think they're through like 5 or 6 practices.
Yeah.
There was one that was open to the media. I wasn't able to attend it because I made some plans before that I couldn't get out of, because heaven forbid they tell us more than like a week or two ahead of time, but I digress. But I'll be able to see practices on Tuesday and Saturday of this week, which I'm sure will be incredibly bland. But go ahead, Luke.
Well, and as we're recording, this is April 10th, right? And I think to be eligible to play next year, you have to be enrolled. Or is it accepted and enrolled?
The way I understand it, because I know where you're going, is all, if you're going to transfer somewhere, your name's got to be in the portal by the end of the month. And I believe you have to choose a college's institution by the end of the month as well.
Yeah, I think
so. If you're going to find a new home, you have, as we sit here today, 3 weeks to find a new home.
Right. Which, so if I was just going to say, which brings us to, like, we know how these things can take a little bit to come together. We know stuff goes on under the table that technically is probably not legal. We can all hypothesize what that could or could not be, you know, whether it's like, hey, you've got a spot or you don't have a spot, you know, when they're not supposed to be talking, not technically in the portal, but things still have to come together. Paperwork still has to be processed, you know, bureaucracy, red tape, etc. So if you're going to be someone like Bucky Irving or Doug Emelin, who also went into the portal, you needed to get this moving. And so we can hypothesize, but it's like you're 5-some practices in, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, I don't know if this is for me. And so you got to get your name in now.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to play and it's been on your mind, and I mean, I think the other thing we also have to get into here is, if you think the NIL is a good thing for Minnesota, I think you're out of your freaking mind.
Well, let's put it this way.
There is no other way to put it. It's as someone who's in the trenches talking to people, look, I asked Fleck about it at his opening press conference, and I knew what he was going to say, but I had to ask, like, what's it like to recruit in the NIL area, where Tennessee just paid $8 million for a 5-star quarterback, allegedly.
Let's get the terminology correct. The University of Tennessee did not pay for him, right?
Their boosters did.
But some sort of organization not related to the university paid someone.
An NIL collective allegedly and reportedly has an $8 million deal with a 5-star quarterback who has committed there. Like, if you think Minnesota has even, I don't even know what the number would be that I could even believe that Minnesota has set up for, like, NIL money in terms of with the boosters and the fans, I don't know, 100,000, like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
So in this era where I can assure you, as Luke said, like, there are things that happen, like, we've all known it. I mean, it's been the worst kept secret of someone who lives in this industry, like, whether it was Tennessee, even with like the McDonald's bags full of cash, or just the SEC paying guys under the table. Yeah, it's all legal now. And there's a lot of different places that all that money is coming from. So for schools like Minnesota, it's just like, like, if you're a good player and you played well as a freshman, and maybe the NIL and getting paid a little bit here in college is now obviously a realistic possibility. Like, it's not a good, like, you can't convince me, Luke, that unless Minnesota gets their stuff together here, and by Minnesota, and I mean, again, you can say the university, you can say the fans, the boosters, whoever. I have a hard time believing that Minnesota can even sign a top 20 class in this NIL era, because there's so much NIL money talk. When I talk to people now with 4 and 5 star kids, it's ridiculous.
Okay. Let's, I want to break this down a little bit more too, because I'm trying to pay attention to some of this as well. Because one, I find it interesting because it's literally a new industry, right? New in terms of the fact that like there was nothing above the table, and now it's a competitive capital industry, right? Here's what I find interesting. Number one, when you have the ability to pay players like this, there is no precedent for any of this outside of the stuff that's been done under the table. So
sure,
we don't really know how this is going to shake out. I think it's going to take a handful of years, because one, we don't know if the ROI on what Tennessee is putting, let's just use Tennessee as an example, and let's use the $8 million as hypothetical if it's accurate or not. If the Tennessee booster group paid $8 million, are they going to get the ROI on that $8 million? Do they think it was worth it, right?
If he brings them to an SEC championship,
it's worth
100%. It was worth it.
Yeah, but the thing is, we don't know that. It's going to take, what, 3 years, two, 3 years minimum to determine
it's gonna,
that?
It's going to take like 3, 4 years, but I think the point you're trying to make is like, I think we're almost getting into like a baseball argument where is if the alternative is just not spending that money, then yeah, you're going to spend the money and you're going to roll the dice. Like if they were not going to spend that $8 million anyway, then what's the point? But if they were just going to spend the $8 million, then yeah, you're going to try to do what you can to figure something out with, you know, a 5-star quarterback and whatnot. And that's where it's just.
But the other thing that we have to look at, Ryan, is yeah, he got $8 million.
Allegedly and reportedly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Let's say that he got that. Is there a contract that says he has to stay at the University of Tennessee to pay that out over a specific period of time, or can he just go and transfer the year after? And
we're getting into the Quinn Ewers situation where
right.
He goes to Ohio State, the 5-star quarterback, and he's there for a year, gets $1 million and leaves. And now he's at Texas and I'm sure he's getting paid probably somewhere around there. Like it's an open market. So like there's no, I guess in theory,
it's an open market to an extent though. It's an open market for 1 year, right? You get one free pass basically. So Quinn, sure. Quinn Ewer used his, he doesn't have it anymore. Like he's stuck at Texas. Outside, I don't think they can transfer, but they have to sit out a year now.
Yes, Quinn's already okay. Used his one time get out of jail free card.
Yeah, so you get one get out of jail free card. So let's take the less hypothetical Bucky Irving, right? So Bucky, let's say he transfers, wherever he goes, that was his one shot. And I can understand the argument, you and I have messaged back and forth about this, that like, hey, you're seeing a full running back room, you want carries. Who's to say he's not going to end up in a full running back room at the next destination, right? I'm kind of trying to play devil's advocate here on a number of things, but like the point is there's no precedent for any of this. So the Kai Thomases, the Bucky Irvings of the world going, I'm all for them having that opportunity, but we don't know how this plays out. And I'm not saying the grass isn't greener, but I'm not saying the grass is greener at the next destination. I think time is going to tell this out. Historically, when people leave the University of Minnesota and they transfer, it hasn't always been greener, according to the articles I've read that you've written, Ryan.
I mean, even look at like, so let's go through the guys who have transferred out, you know, and because again, I know we're very NIL focused, but to your point, you're right. Where you have guys like Jaquandus Burns, who went from Minnesota to SMU, stepped down and played. Kai Thomas now at Kansas. You know, maybe they're turning things around there and he's closer to home and he's going to get a lot of carries. But it's also the University of Kansas and the Big 12. Like, it ain't a great football school. Nnamdi Adeyemadjumere, Minnesota to Central Arkansas. Brady Boyd gets to go to Texas Tech. Saya Matapaku, the offensive lineman that Minnesota signed in 2020. I think he's like a preferred walk-on at Arizona now or something. I don't know how that all worked out, but that's the last I heard there. I mean, you got Curtis Dunlap at Rutgers, Cam Wiley at Akron, MJ Anderson at Iowa State, Rashad Chaney and DJ Gordon at USF, Jacob Clark and Zach Anakstead in the Missouri Valley. I mean, the list goes on. To your point, yeah, the grass isn't always greener, and the NIL money ain't a thing for them. But for, like, Bucky Irving is talented enough, in my opinion, to play anywhere. And I think he showed that last year, and that's why if and when he actually does put his name into the portal, I think he's going to have his options to go anywhere. And I would be shocked if he didn't end up at like a top 25 type of institution. But I also think that if he's going to end up in the SEC or at Michigan or, you know, USC, something like that, like, I also probably think he'll be making a little bit more NIL money at that point. So,
and good for him, in my opinion, good for him.
Right. But I think the point is, and again, we're speculating about that. And I think the larger point I want to make to people now is, and I know some people are going to be turned off by this, is when you look at Kai and you look at Bucky and you look at the running back room that Minnesota had coming back, because I would say Mo and Trey Potts are legitimate Big Ten running backs. I think Bryce Williams improved quite a bit last year. And then you had Bucky and Kai. Like, I think the days of sitting and waiting your turn are gone. Because if why would they want to wait when you have your one-time get-out-of-jail-free card in the transfer portal? And so that's for it's just tough, you know, where you recruit so well with those two four-star running backs. And just when, you know, maybe you don't want to get all the carries, you know, the carries that you may or may not have wanted to get aren't going to be there for a year. It's just the reality now where it's so tough to have a stacked room when they can just go somewhere else and be the guy. You know what I mean?
Well, I think you have to look at it the other way too, is like they redshirted a guy like Kai Thomas. Not necessarily saying that was a bad thing. But it's like, how do you work some of these guys in and make them feel like, you know, they're part of the program and they're not just, you know, on the shelf. Right. This well, is similar to, like,
I mean, we could even live in the hypothetical world of Luke. What if Mo Ibrahim doesn't pop his Achilles in game one against Ohio State and he's healthy for the entire season? Trey Potts is the number two change of pace. Then you got Bryce Williams, and both of those guys get the redshirt. I would say there's a higher chance that both of them are still here, but because of the injury Armageddon that happened last year in the running back room, and they got to showcase their talents, and now guys are getting more and more healthy. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just no other kind of way to get around it at this point or kind of explain it any more thoroughly, I think, Luke.
Yeah, I think too, like, this is a lot of, like, basketball. Like, you and I talk about basketball from time to time. Like, the red shirt's almost dead in basketball, right? You rarely see guys in the top 150 red shirt, no matter how skilled or unskilled they are. They rarely redshirt.
Which is such a crazy change even to like 10 years ago when I was in college. Like, that was commonplace still 10 years ago in the basketball world, was a lot of guys still redshirted, you know?
Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen now.
It's just in the day and age of the transfer portal where, I mean, you even look at Ben Johnson's team a year ago, I think the only holdover from when he inherited was Isaiah Annan. And now, you know, it's just, there's so many things that change. And that's just, it is what it is, because the NCAA, that's what they decided to do. But I think it's just us trying to tell you, the Gopher fan, that, you know, Minnesota can still win. Look, Iowa and Wisconsin, their NIL programs are on the same tier as Minnesota. But like, if it's important to a recruit that they get NIL money, it's not going to happen here. Mm-hmm. You know, it could, and I'd love for it to be a thing here at Minnesota, Luke, but like, the reality is, I mean, there's just not a lot going on right now with it.
Yeah, and we should say that there is an effort to get some NIL stuff going here in Minnesota. Some folks set up a Discord. I'm on the Discord. I'm interested in chatting about it. I know there are some things going on in the background with other groups trying to vet it. But, you know, time's going to tell. right? That's the only thing until someone takes leadership and takes the torch and walks it forward. Because really, we haven't had this under the table money probably at Minnesota happening, to my knowledge.
100% not, because yeah. This is the strictest compliance in all of the NCAA, in my opinion.
Yeah. So
none of that tomfoolery has been happening here.
But to that point, there is no infrastructure. So you need to get some infrastructure. You also need to get a group of people that are interested in and willing to take the torch and move it forward. So if you're interested in that, want to learn more about the Discord, reach out to me. You could probably reach out to Frothy Gopher on Twitter as well. He also is pretty active in there. But there's some other people, West Coast Jack. I'm trying to think of the Twitter handles of these people.
Luke, what's your Twitter if people want to get involved? Oh,
LukeBuer, my first and my last name. I don't hide behind a moniker. So, tweet at me, and I can send you the Discord information. Connect you with some people. As well. Hopefully we can find something to move it forward. I think it's an interesting space. And I think that there are markets that are very similar to Minnesota that we could copy. I know the University of Washington, as I talk about a lot, they have a pretty interesting approach to their NIL group. It's called the Montlake Fund. But generally, I think that there's definitely potential here in this market for NIL. But there's got to be someone that's willing to take the ship and row it forward, for lack of a better term, Ryan.
Yeah. But again, this is where I'm not trying to say that Minnesota can't win in the NIL era. That's not what I'm saying, because I think they have a legitimate chance at the Big Ten West this year. I think they're in the top tier with Wisconsin. Again, say what you will about, Iowa, but I think Minnesota and Wisconsin are in a clear tier by themselves this year. So it can happen. But if you want to have it sustained there just needs to be more of an effort, I think, in the NIL stuff, where, again, it can be as simple as somebody creates an LLC and, you know, a lot of people throw $100 in it or whatever it may be, and that eventually grows to whatever it is. And then, again, you can help do your part.
This is a serious question, Ryan. Can you, sure, as a 247 employee, run an NIL? Yes. An employee. You're a 1099, I think, technically.
No, but I think the amount of... It's even a miracle I get credentialed sometimes with the U. Vote for the Heisman Trophy, but I sometimes run into logistical issues with the University of Minnesota.
I'm just curious. So you could be a part of a NIL group, like you could have an ownership stake,
something like that, and say, you know, I could have Tanner Moore, whoever the starting quarterback is, for 30 minutes each week, and then he could get a sum of money. Like, I know the guys out at Pitt. Did that with Kenny Pickett this past year, where they got him exclusively for 30 minutes each week, breaking down whatever they wanted to.
Sure.
Again, that's part of it and whatnot.
So you could funnel money to them through your thing, but I'm saying, like, could you be part of an NIL group that was trying to bring money to
literally recruits? Have no idea.
Okay. That's what I was curious of. I haven't looked into that piece at all. Like,
no.
Because, I mean, it kind of feels like there's a Venn diagram where they shouldn't be overlapping, but maybe they can. I don't know how the rules
I would have to talk to somebody at the U about what all that is about and whatnot.
We talked a little bit about Bucky Irving, also Doug Emelin. He also hit the portal.
I'm just with Doug. I mean, I think people on GI know that I was, and there were a lot of people when he came in 18 months ago, that summer of 2020, were very optimistic and thought this is going to be a guy that's going to be a player here very, very soon. And, you know, from talking to some people over there this weekend, it just was, I mean, it was a few different things, but it just didn't click. And for a kid from Florida now going into year three, knows where he is after five practices, probably behind Dalen Wright, Chris Ottman-Bell, Michael Brown-Stevens, Daniel Jackson. Yes, I'm aware Chris Ottman-Bell's gone after one more year, but the last three, probably going to be your starting three receivers next year.
Yeah, but we talked about this already, right? Like, it's a playing time thing. Like, he's already sat out, you know, one whole year of eligibility, right? You know, two technically, but he's already lost a year of eligibility. Like, I don't blame the guy for, you know, wanting to leave. Doesn't mean the grass is going to be greener, but maybe he's going to find a spot that's a better fit for him in terms of playing time. So,
exactly. I so that's it. Where it's just, it. I mean, it just is what it is. And that's where, with Bucky more than likely gone, I mean, you look at the 22 running back room, it's still pretty damn good if Trey Potts gets clear. And maybe that's the thing that has surprised me the most, was if you would have told me in January that Trey Potts was actually going to be coming back and playing football this spring, which he's been participating in the individual parts of practice, I would have called you a lunatic, because there was absolutely zero white smoke coming out of the proverbial chimney at Land of Lake Center down there on the University of Minnesota. There was very little optimism. And now fast forward 3 months, he's going through practice, and there's optimism that by the time fall camp gets around, that he's going to be cleared for full contact. Well, if you told me that Mo Ibrahim, who has been running for, I think, over a month now, I mean, he's going through stuff at practice. He's currently in Ramadan, which, so he's not, can't, I believe, I don't mean to be culturally insensitive, but I believe that means you cannot eat and drink while the sun is up.
Sundown, yeah.
So he's obviously not practicing during the day here. Gets in a workout beforehand, before the sun comes up, with the head strength guy, and then Kenny Burns as well. But look, the 22 running back room is just fine. Like, it's, if they can stay healthy, which obviously, I mean, you got a guy coming off an Achilles, you got a guy coming off an injury that saw him be in the hospital for 5 nights, and you got a guy coming off what I believe was a broken leg or a broken bone somewhere in the leg for Bryce Williams. Like, it's easier in theory. Mm-hmm. It's easier on paper than in actuality, but you know, that's where I think a lot more eyes are now going to be thrown onto Zach Evans as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and there's been a lot of optimism about him. So,
and we talked to, we
this
talked
was
with
before
Kenny Burns about
Buck
him.
Even hit the portal. Yeah. And we talked to Kenny at the signing day, social with the Goal Line Club there about Zach Evans and whatnot. And since he's been on campus now for 2.5 months, there's been a lot of good things, and I've heard a lot of promising things from practice as well. So that's where I know it sucks long-term, certainly, and in the short-term, because I would argue that, but even if Trey Potts was cleared, I would want Bucky probably getting some touches over him. But it's not like the step down from Bucky to Trey Potts is that significant to me. Mm-hmm. Is it like a change of pace kind of guy that's an east-west to complement what Mo Ibrahim is in the north-south?
Yeah, and theoretically, too, like I think the door hasn't actually closed on the Bucky Irving, because technically when you go in the portal, you can still go back to the same institution. I know you're not terribly optimistic that's going to be the case, but
I just have a hard time believing we're going to see like a Curtis Dunlap type of
situation. Yeah. I get that.
Is it the craziest thing in the world to happen? Certainly not.
But from the mechanics of it, like, that can happen. I think that's the thing we have to be clear, because, you know, this is still relatively new. We have had the Curtis Dunlap situation, so they have come back. So just want to be clear, that could happen. I'm not saying it's going to, but that is a realistic possibility.
I also would say I would be shocked if Minnesota doesn't sign a transfer running back in the next 3 weeks, if indeed Bucky is gone.
Sure.
Number one, to just balance out the classes. Number two, I mean, I have to believe that there are good to very good running backs in the portal, because say what you will. Mm-hmm. I mean, running back is a position that is very, how do I want to phrase this, Luke? You know what I'm trying to say? I shouldn't say a dime a dozen, but there's good running backs out there still. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine Minnesota's going to explore the portal. Last week, they just picked up a 2023 running back commit from Darius Taylor, a kid out of Michigan, who had legitimate committable offers from places like Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan State. So, I mean, it's not all doom and gloom, even though I'm not trying to tell you it doesn't suck that Bucky Irving left or is leaving. That's not what I'm saying, because it does suck, because Bucky's a very good player.
Yeah.
It's just the immediate ramifications of this, if Trey Potts does get cleared, I don't think are immense on what the outcome is of the 2022 season.
Yeah. And one thing I want to make sure we touch on in, you know, the ever changing and evolving nature of collegiate athletics, specifically revenue sports like basketball and football. I do think that the days of program, like sustainable program building, aren't done, but they are drastically different. Yes, you are going to have to be able to recruit recruit high schoolers well, but I think your idea that you're going to have this core that sticks with you for 3, 4, 5 years may not be what you once thought it was. And you're really going to have to be like year to year roster management. Right. And I know that like they're the Iowas of the world or, you know, that have had little to no turnover. Right. I also don't see that probably happening.
It is mind boggling to me that Iowa has like taken one guy and they've had, I think, 4 or 5 at the portal.
Yeah, but I mean,
that is just that roster management in 2022 is absolutely insane to me.
Yeah, I think they're probably an outlier, and I'm not saying that what they're doing is wrong, or I'm not trying to insinuate that at all, but I'm just trying to say, like, something is going to regress to a mean. I think where Minnesota is seeing, like, 15, that's probably not going to be consistent year to year. And we got to keep in mind too that, right, like I said this before, but there's not enough precedent for anyone to point to. So it's really a wild west and people are making decisions on limited and imperfect information. Right. And that's right. Okay. But at the end of the day, some are going to make some really bad decisions and they're going to learn from it. And others are going to learn from it as a result.
I think the thing that, and I asked Fleck about it in his opening presser, and I agree with the way he responded to it, is like the days of taking 25 high school kids are over.
Agreed.
Which sucks for high school kids because, I mean, you're reducing your high school class size by, say, 20%. I mean, that means...
But to that point, Ryan, too, I think that more guys are going to be out of college football way faster than they used to be. Just because they opt in the portal and they don't find a home. Like, legitimately, they just don't find a scholarship and they don't justify walking on, right? Like, they're just going to be out.
Right. I mean, well, here's what I'm trying to say is, like, Fleck talked about how he doesn't want to take 20-something guys, high school guys in a recruiting class anymore because he wants to save, say, 5 to 8 scholarships every year for transfers because there are so many good quality transfers out there.
Reminder, they got some really good transfers to come in.
Well, and they also lost one last week in Chris Smith to Notre Dame, which is what it is.
Don't blame him for wanting to get that Harvard degree. And as such,
well, it was funny because I was watching a Notre Dame press conference here in the last 72 hours. I think Al Golden, the new defensive coordinator, was talking about it. They had a guy get injured in spring ball. Was the defensive tackle. And so they were needing guys to fill in there. And that's where they ended up getting Chris Smith. So it's like, if that guy doesn't get injured and then in the D tackle room there, maybe Chris Smith is still coming here, but
that's roster management, right? Like that's going to be a thing year in, year out.
Yeah. And that's where, to your point, again, the portal giveth and the portal taketh away. Like I think Kai and Bucky are on their own tier for the potential impact of what it means. Then I would say a tier below that is probably MJ Anderson. And then, I mean, the rest of the guys, peace and love to them, like, I don't think are a huge loss for what this, you know, Minnesota team is.
I maybe disagree with you on, I think MJ Anderson is pretty equal to Kai and Bucky.
Well, I would tell you, I haven't heard glowing reports out of Ames so far.
Oh, really? Okay, interesting.
Which on the field surprises me a little bit. But, yeah.
On the field, you know, production.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. So let's see what happens here in 4 to 7 months when he's playing for the Cyclones. But it also is just like, it's just the reality of what college football is going to be. You're going to see Fleck take probably high teens and high school kids each year. And then because of what the transfer portal is now and the amount of quality players that are going to be hitting that. And you've even seen it to your point, Luke, with what Minnesota brought in this year with Quinn Carroll, with Chuck Filiaga, who might be your starting guard.
Yeah, that corner.
You have Ryan Stapp from Abilene Christian. You have Darnell Jeffries from Clemson. Lorenzo Sergers at defensive end. Beanie Bishop, who is an all-conference USA slot corner. There are good players out there. And so that's where it just kind of is. The reality is, and to your point, Luke, the days of redshirting and the days of instant, you know, the days of waiting your turn, I think, are gone, because we live in an era now where it's instant gratification. Mm-hmm. And if you're not getting the playing time you wanted, or you just want to see if there's greener pastures, that's what this one-time transfer rule is all about. And that's where I don't think, like, I get it from a player standpoint, because if you haven't seen it, the amount of college coaching carousel that spins around and around and around, even in this offseason, I mean, it's ridiculous. So it gives the players an out. I mean, it gives the coaches an out. So it's just the days of waiting your turn, I just think, are on the outs in college football. Mm-hmm. And it is what it is. And if that's, and that bothers you, I would just encourage you to kind of be open to new things, because I think it's kind of what the future is going to be.
Yeah. It's semi-pro athletics almost. But yeah, I still think it's going to be fun. I
wouldn't say, like, for Alabama and Tennessee, yeah, it's probably semi-pro to an extent, but like for a Minnesota or Wisconsin or Iowa, still very much the same as it was, in my opinion, 5 years ago.
Yeah. And I think the landscape, I think it'll be interesting to talk about this in 5 years, right? What has happened in 5 years here at the University of Minnesota, but also what has happened nationally in 5 years. There's going to be enough precedent, because, you know, that's basically an entire recruiting cycle or recruiting classes like cycle in college. So I think that will be very interesting to see, you know, how the perspective is on NIL, but also on the one-time transfer, et cetera. And very well, they might try to make some rule changes for all we know. But generally speaking, I think it's good to have the one-time transfer. I think it's good to have the NIL. Were there always going to be challenges and frustrations from people? Absolutely. But I think it's better to give this opportunity to the players, because, you know, one, they should be able to profit to some extent off their name, image, and likeness. And they should also have some sort of flexibility and not be locked down, you know, to a specific institution. Again, my personal opinion, you're welcome to have a different one. But let's transition, talk a little bit about spring football. First of all, before we do that, I just want to commend you, because much like the NFL beat, your beat now basically 365 days a year.
It is. I mean, whether it's the portal, and it already sort of was, because I'm so entrenched in the recruiting aspect.
But recruiting had seasons, Ryan. The transfer portal has no seasons.
I mean, technically, it'll end on May 1st, and then it'll kick back open, I think, sometime this fall or whatever. But it's ridiculous. I mean, it is what it is now. And that's where, like, to your point earlier, I think Minnesota's through 5 of their 15 practices or whatever. I've got 31 outstanding interview requests into the University of Minnesota that I submitted in early March. And still waiting to hear back on those. Hopefully by the end of spring ball, which is 3 weeks from now, I can hopefully be somewhere around that 30-some mark. So be on the lookout for those on Gopher Illustrated. Like I mentioned earlier, the media will be there on Tuesday the 12th, and then on the 16th as well. I think the 16th one is also open to the public. So we will be back on this podcast next week. I think we're going to try to get Daniel House on to talk with me about spring ball and our impressions and whatnot. So there will be actual legitimate spring football discussions being had, and you can start to get excited about this team, because I don't mean to sound like Buzz Killington here. This is going to be, I think, a legitimately good Minnesota team, like an 8-9 win team. And there'll be a lot to talk about there, but I just need to be able to see it with my own two eyes first before I start giving these hot takes that you all want to hear me say.
Yes. Generally, though, historically, we have said that especially your takes on spring ball, we'll talk in general terms, but you typically put the majority of your detail on Gopher Illustrated. So
yeah, Tuesday. I'll have a photo gallery. I'll have quotes up from whoever we get afterwards. I'll have my position by position report. And that's where, again, it's only a buck to be on Gopher Illustrated. And then I think at the end of the month, we're doing a 60% off thing for new members. So if you just want to wait to the end of the month, I think, again, I try to be full up, fully transparent with everybody, Luke, because I want to make sure, you know, people want to make sure they're getting a good deal and whatnot. So that's where I believe on the 28th or the 29th of the month, we're going to be doing a 60% off deal. If you just want to wait till then and then go back and read all my practice reports then, I don't blame you. You're going to be doing getting a heck of a deal then. So we will have legitimate stuff to talk about starting next week. But Luke, we're also going to be doing a podcast at the at some point in this upcoming week with what I think is a fan favorite.
Yeah. So you and I have quoted this man's stats for a number of years, I think. I think it's been a number of years, but Stats Award.
2021 was really the one that we really started to get into it.
Okay. So, yeah, so we're going to have Parker on. He has the stat, the Twitter handle Stats of War, big TCU fan. He has a website that does advanced analytics on college football. We're excited to have him. We're asking him to teach a little.
I'm just excited to have him explain to our audience in detail in like layman's terms what EPA is, because yeah. I think in terms of advanced football analytics, expect, you know, the EPA is probably the best stat to kind of gauge you know, how efficient, how good something is.
Yeah.
And that's where it's like Tanner Morgan, I think, according to his stuff, was like around middle of the pack in FBS football. But it was like Spencer Petras and Graham Mertz were like 122 out of 130 and like 124 out of 130. And so that's where I'm just like, well, for all of those you think Tanner Morgan sucks, boy, do I have something to show you with Graham Mertz and Spencer Petras. But
yeah.
we are very excited to get him on the podcast to talk all things kind of a little nuanced in college football. We'll get into some Big Ten talk. What else you think we're going to cover there?
I'm for sure going to ask about Jerry Kill. Like, no question.
Oh, God. I mean, we can do the good old.
I'm just kidding.
Country Jer.
I mean, we'll talk about advanced stats. We'll hopefully keep it as generic as possible because, as you and I have discussed, we're going to probably get even a little bit more advanced stats heavy going into the 2022 season. We're going to make that part of our pregame and postgame breakdowns as much as we possibly can. So we want to try and educate people on that before we start spewing out these acronyms that you may not be familiar with. So again, if you were hoping that Gopher Gridiron Radio was going to get a little bit more surface level, I apologize. We're just going to get deeper and deeper.
We will. So. We're going to go off the deep end here later this week, and then we'll be back the week of somewhere between the 18th to the 22nd to talk with Daniel House about more surface level stuff, about what we're seeing at the Gopher football practices and whatnot. So I'm just excited we're back. I wish it was more upbeat. In terms of with Bucky hitting the portal, kind of with where things are at recruiting wise in the 4- and 5-star world. I mean, I would say this, if you made it to the end, like Jackson Howard, the top rated kid in the state of Minnesota, I think a top 150 kid, is still a legitimate shot for Minnesota. I don't think that the NIL is going to be a huge deal there. And I don't want to make you think, you know, just because we spent so much time about the doom and gloom of NIL talk that maybe Jackson Howard's not gettable or other 4-stars. The NIL doesn't mean a ton to every kid. Every kid is different, just like it always is in recruiting. Minnesota can still land 4-stars. It's just if the NIL is the end-all be-all for the kid, say he comes from a tough upbringing or whatever it may be, like it just is what it is. And until Minnesota gets a collective that can, you know, start to put up some figures there, it just is what it is. But I guess that would be the note, is if you read the quotes that I put up from Jackson Howard, who was just on campus at Minnesota last weekend, and you read the quotes, you can tell Minnesota's got a legitimate shot. He'll be back at the spring game. I would anticipate he's going to be back in June as well for an official visit. Like, this is a legitimate shot to land what I think is a very good defensive lineman. So we'll have more positive things to talk about later this week, Luke.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to thank you all for listening. Hopefully see you out at the spring game or on the Discord. So thanks for listening, and go Gophers.